kuna Nairobi tunachafu meza, chafu wa meza, chafu wa meza.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Tafua Meza. I'm your host, Slimmy G, and today we have a special guest. Matter of fact, this is the youngest female we have on my show so far. Don't you feel good about that?
Yeah, I'm real honored. Be the first one up here.
Yes. But, yeah, before we start, usually on my show, before we start the show, we usually take shots, but she says she doesn't drink, so we're going to do water, because it's pretty hot. It's summertime, and it's hot as hell, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, it's super hot, man. Yeah, we're not, but we're going to drink water today. But, yeah, I'm going to let her go ahead and introduce herself as we continue, because this is going to be a good one. I'm so excited about this one. I got so many questions for you. Mm-hmm. I bet you got a good, enlightening, encouraging, inspiring, educating story for us. Mm-hmm. And yeah, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Okay. Hey, everybody. My name is Rebecca Jacoyo. I am 22 years old and a recent graduate of North Carolina Central University sports med major. So shout out to all the STEM girls out there.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. A recent graduate. Mm-hmm. She just made a lot of y'all feel stupid right now.
I hope not.
No, I'm just messing with y'all, man. Y'all good. So what was your major?
Sports medicine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you into medicine for real?
Just a little bit. Mine isn't like directly straight into the medical field. So don't think doctor or PA. Think more physical therapist, because that's what I'm on track on getting. I plan on getting my physical therapist degree.
Okay. Wow. That's good. That's encouraging. And as far as sports, were you playing sports in school?
I did cheer and dance all of high school. I think not including freshman year, but every year after that, I was doing cheer and dance all throughout.
No wonder you like music, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, welcome to the show, man. Thank you so much for stopping by. This is an honor to me. When I asked you to come to the pod, of course, you agreed to it, and I appreciate you. So sometimes people do agree to it but don't really show up.
Really?
Yeah, you'll be surprised. Yeah, you'll be surprised how many people do lie to your face. Like, yeah, I got you. I'm coming. But in their mind, they know, please, I'm not coming. So, yeah, I appreciate you for coming through, man. But, yeah, let's get to it. So what really made you take that major, sports and medicine?
Sports medicine. It's really because I originally was a pre-nursing major when I went into college. And after, like, taking all the prerequisites and taking the TEAS exam, I realized that this major isn't for me. I looked more into it, and I was just like, I think I might have been really going towards his degree just to make my parents happy, more specifically my dad, because he, like, that was the major he recommended. Like, you know, you can go into nursing. You'll always be able to find a job. They pay well. And so in my mind, I was just like, okay, you know, I want a job that pays well. Yeah. And I knew I always wanted to help people. I just did not know, like, in what capacity I wanted to do that. But at the time, my brother was thinking of doing physical therapy. And so my dad was just like, maybe you could look into that. So I talked to him, decided to do a little bit more research. And then I was just like, okay, this sounds good. And so I talked to my advisor, and thank God that most of the prerequisites I took for nursing actually transferred over for sports medicine. So it wouldn't put me like behind school. So that was a blessing. And then it felt like a light leading me to the direction that I should originally have been on. And so that's how I got into sports medicine.
Oh, okay. Congrats. That's a major move. Mm-hmm. That's a major move. Well, let me even take you back a little bit further than that. Mm-hmm. Were you born here or born in Kenya?
I was born in Kenya.
Born in Kenya.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember anything about Kenya?
Not really. I was really young. I came here when I was 4. I want to say, I think a week after my 4th birthday, we came to the States.
Oh, my goodness. So no friends at all, nothing?
I mean, none that I can really remember outside of family. I've been back, I think it was 2021, And, like, one of the girls I was actually in Sunday school with back there before I came to the U.S., she was just like, you don't remember me? I'm just like, no. Like, I was too little.
You're like, sorry, matter of fact, I don't even speak Swahili. Like, what are you saying right now?
No, wait. Not too much on me. I can understand Swahili and Kikuyu, but the problem is speaking it for me. I can speak more Swahili than I can Kikuyu for sure. It's the enunciation. I struggle. Like, it feels, like, really heavy on my tongue. And I'm just like, oh. Like, I hear you saying it, and then I try it, and I'm like, it does not sound right. So, as of right now, I'm practicing and using more Swahili throughout the day to get better at it.
Okay. I like that. Because I'm pretty sure in your household, you guys probably speak more English than Swahili.
I mean, me and my siblings do, but as for my parents, they still speak Swahili and Kikuyu. I feel like that might be one of the reasons I struggle so much because my mom, like, interchanges in between. So she might start off in Swahili and then transfer over to Kikuyu and then go back to Swahili. So I never got, like, a good, firm understanding of them individually before she started, like, kind of mixing them in together.
But when you talk to your older brother, he'll speak to you in English. He doesn't speak Swahili to you. Mm-mm. Never at all, right?
Mm-mm.
Oh, man. That's a problem already, man. So you came here at 4 years old. So, of course, you grew up in America.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you can say you miss about Kenya?
I miss having my family. I want to say that is the biggest thing because we don't have any, like, extended family in the States. So all of our family's back home. So if we ever want to communicate, you know, WhatsApp or maybe, like, our cousins were a little on the younger side, like, I like Instagram or TikTok, we can talk that way. But, like, for our aunts and uncles, you know, Lost Revolution, call them.
Yes. Yes.
Or Facebook.
I'm trying to understand. Okay, let us understand this. Your first experience, I don't know if you can remember that far, when you got here in America, your first day going to school, now you're fresh from Kenya, you only probably have that the Kenyan accent. And then you're in school. How was that?
I can't really remember too much, but I do remember my mom saying, at least for me, it didn't take me too long to learn English because I was still pretty young. So I usually just copied what other people said. So I was picking up English pretty well. And I also was put into ESL. So the English is your second language. Yeah. That was a class. So you would go to your regular class. And then in between that time, like, a teacher would come and pull you out from class. And you would go to a separate class with all the other kids who don't. If English isn't your first language, they would come there and then they'll kind of help you a little bit more.
So you didn't struggle at all? You didn't face any?
No, I feel like maybe when I very first got here, I mean, I had a couple incidents where, like, I didn't know how to say the bathroom. Like, I was telling the teacher, I have to use the bathroom. They're just like, huh? Like, I wasn't saying it in English, so I accidentally used the bathroom on myself. So they had to call my mom. And she had to come there, which is a little struggle for her because it took my mom way longer than everyone else in my family to learn English. So it was kind of like a hassle with all of us trying to figure it out.
Of course, yeah. It's almost a challenge as long as you go to a different country or a different continent. Growing up, by the time you get to high school, everything was smooth. Like, you became one. You just became American pretty much. One of us over here.
Yes, and no. I feel like I'm a good mixture.
You think so?
I think so.
Okay, tell us how.
The reason why I say so is my parents, they're a little bit on the older side, and so they grew up their whole lives in Kenya. So us moving here doesn't change the fact that they were born and bred and raised in Kenya. So that's how they raised us, as if we were in Kenya, even though we're in a different country completely.
Or the rules are the same.
Yep, the rules are exactly the same. You go to church, you do well in school, and you behave, and that was how it was.
Okay. As far as the household goes, I get that. But as soon as you go outside of your house, it's like, now you're American, because they don't hear the African accent in you. Of course, when they see you, they don't identify you as an African or anything like that. They just see an American woman, you know what I mean? So that's what I'm saying. I don't think you see, or at least you experience that struggle,
mm-mm,
as opposed to another guy or another female coming from Africa with a strong African accent and going through the whole experience. Because as soon as they say something, people go like, oh, where are you from?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, of course, the pronouncing of stuff is like, they don't know what to say. They said the wrong things. Mm-hmm. And so all that stress, you don't have to go through all that. I mean, actually, mm-hmm, never went through all that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a blessing for you.
Yeah, I will say that.
Okay, I like that. So how was high school? Yeah, matter of fact, even before high school, I was kindergarten for you.
Kindergarten?
Yeah.
I feel like it was pretty good just because when you're like that young, everyone's always nice. Everybody's just like, you want to be my friend? Yeah. You want to be my friend? I feel like I have a vivid memory of this younger white girl. I think her name was Caitlin or Kylie, something like that. And it was my first day in maybe first grade or kindergarten, one of those two. We were both in the same class both years. And she came, the teacher introduced me. They're just like, oh, hey, everybody, we have a new student. She's recently from Kenya, you know, make her feel welcome. And I was sitting right next to her. And she turned to me and she was just like, do you want to be friends? And then that's kind of just how I made a friend one day. And then as I continue missing and mingling, I met more people that way.
Oh, nice, nice, man. You sound like your journey was just smooth. Like.
Definitely blessed in that manner. But there was also a big Kenyan community here in Raleigh. So they was also kind of helping us transition from Kenya to the States and stuff like that. And a lot of them had kids around the same age. So it was nice to kind of bond with them and seeing like some of them are like in the same situation I was. Like I didn't grow up in Kenya. They didn't really grow up in Kenya. We were kind of just born there. And so we were just kind of figuring out life together.
Okay. Okay. All right. That makes a lot of sense because now you have someone to relate to mm-hmm. as opposed to the ones who come over here and they have zero friends and everything they have to learn on their own and struggle on their own. Okay. 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 So I'm just trying to figure out the time you get to high school. How was high school?
I think high school was pretty good. I can't think I've had any complaints. I feel like I did a lot while I was in high school. Not too much freshman year because, you know, I was kind of just adjusting to how different middle school and high school was. But come sophomore year, I got transferred from my original school because of they changed the district area for my neighborhood. And I decided to get more active in school. So I joined the dance company and I tried out for cheerleading, made the team. And then that's the way I met like friends and like I feel like made most of my memories in high school. And then I was also doing like a dual enrollment. Like towards my junior year, I was taking like a class at like the community college and I got a job. And so I was kind of busy doing a whole lot of things, staying busy.
I like that. So since this is interesting, so now you live in an African household.
Mm-hmm.
You're pretty much becoming American because you came here 4 years old. So by the time you're at least you're 15, 16, it's like you almost 100% American. Were you allowed to have a boyfriend in high school?
No, absolutely not. People might look at me as American, but my dad is 100% a Kenyan Kikuyu man. He said, absolutely not. He said, absolutely not. He said, you're here to learn. Yeah. We didn't come to this country for you to just throw caution to the wind and ride into the sunset with some man you met here. He was just like, no. Even the guy friends I had, my dad used to make stank faces when he seen them. He's just like, you know, just real quiet, just like a 1-2, but was not happy about it. So dating was definitely not something that I could even have a conversation with my parents about.
Not happening at all.
No.
Yeah. Did you ever go to prom or school dances?
COVID happened the year I graduated high school, so there was no prom. They were telling us that some parents were going to fundraise and, you know, have like a prom like outside somewhere. Never happened. So unfortunately, I missed out on the biggest part of high school, that prom, formal dance. It would have been really fun. But fortunately, there was like a formal I had in middle school in the eighth grade, so I got to participate in that, which was kind of nice.
Oh, I'm so sorry, man. You missed out on the big one, man.
I did.
I mean, prom is usually huge in high school, man. And you really missed out the whole experience. My prom it was cheap, but it was nice.
Yeah. I remember when my brother was going to prom and, like, my dad helped him find a suit. He had a date. Like, they took pictures. And, like, I seen, like, a photo booth set that I think he still has the pictures from that day. And I'm just like, wow. I can't say I did the same, unfortunately.
Wait, your dad helped your brother to pick up a suit?
Yeah, Yeah, they went and got him a suit. He looked nice. He looked fresh.
Yo, that is dope, man. Because in my situation, there was no family helping me, nothing.
I don't know if he paid for it, because I think my brother was working at the time, but he helped him look for one.
Man, I had to actually get my uncle's suit. I took my uncle, and he was oversized. Like this.
I was about to say, did that fit?
It didn't fit, but you see, the only good thing that made the whole suit work out is because at that time, the style was baggy stuff. You could wear baggy pants, baggy t-shirts. So it looked like that's the style I was going for, but not necessarily. I'm wearing like 3 times my size. Matter of fact, 4 times my size, you feel me? But I'm acting like, yo, this is a new style, you feel me? Like, you got to wear something big and baggy, you know what I mean? So nobody even noticed that. But it was extremely big for me. Mm-hmm. But, yo, I pulled that thing out, man. And then the good thing, the problem is at nighttime, too. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of dark a little bit, so people don't really get to see what's going on. But if I look at the pictures, I'm like, Jesus Christ, what the hell was that?
Oh, thank God for pictures. You look back and you're just like, wow.
What the hell was I thinking, man? Like, that was just a big mistake. But at that time, yeah, everything seemed okay, man. Anyway, I'm not complaining. Whatever happened, happened. We live and you learn.
Speaking of, that reminds me, you asked me how it was like school and stuff beforehand. I forgot to mention that when we first came to the U.S., we were Pentecostal, so that meant we had to wear dresses and skirts everywhere. So imagine our first winter here, so it doesn't snow in Kenya, so when we were there and it snowed, so, you know, we got dresses and skirts, so my mom just kind of layered us up, tights, boots, and a big jacket, but I did say that did make me stand out a lot. A lot of people knew me and my sister for always wearing dresses and skirts, even at church. My some of the aunties at the church, they always say, I'm like, I always remember when you guys used to come to church. You always wore your Sunday best. Your mom always had y'all dressed up to the nine, and you guys always wore skirts and dresses. Like, they were like, we've never seen you in pants or jeans until middle school. I think that's when we started wearing pants, because I think by that time, my dad had been in America long enough, and we were kind of starting to try to rebel a bit. And my mom actually started buying us pants, because my dad was just like, I'm not going to buy y'all pants. If y'all want to buy pants, you're going to have to buy it with your own money. If you want a nice dress or a nice skirt, we can come to him. But as for pants, he's not buying it. So my mom bought us some. And so we started, you know, adapting and changing our outfits that way. So fitting in that way was definitely different.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Actually, that story, that sounds like a true African parent right there.
Yes, he put his foot down. He said, no, I'm not going to buy you any jeans, shorts, any of that.
And I like what he say. Like, if you want it, you have to get it on your own. That means you have to get a job, make your own money, and buy all this good stuff, man. Yo, that is tough right there, man. And then from high school now, we go to college. So how was your experience in college, man?
College was a lot of fun. Definitely a large learning experience, because you throw all these kids in on campus. I stayed on campus, lived in the dorms. And so you put all these kids together, some of them just getting their first taste of freedom. And so a recipe for disasters. People were doing all kinds of nefarious things, skipping class, drinking, smoking, however many partners. People were just living life like this would be their last time. And so kind of navigating that, because I am a Christian, so I want to say I did kind of lose myself. I did start smoking weed a little bit more. And I was high a lot. I'll say that. I was high a lot. But thankfully, the friends that I were around, that they didn't allow that to be like something that took up everything. So that stuff we would do after we finished our assignments. So we would be up until like 12, 1, 2 a.m. doing assignments. And so that the following day, we can be out having fun with everybody else. So kind of managing and prioritizing everything was kind of new, because there's no parents there to wake you up to tell you to go to class. Yes,
yeah.
There's no parents nagging you to do your homework. And there's no supervision. So if you want to do whatever you want to do, you could do it. As long as it fell in like the guidelines of the school, you could do it.
Yeah, you're definitely, you're good to go. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness, that sounds so interesting. And again, you went to Central, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, that's the...
What?
Okay, to me, Central, St. Augustine, and Shaw.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the party schools over here in Raleigh.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean? Like, especially Central. Central's the number one school because everybody know when it's time to turn up, Central got it.
Yeah, and I definitely think it's because out of those other schools, ours were the bigger ones.
Yes.
So anytime we had like, homecoming and stuff, I would run into a lot of students who go to Shaw or went to St. Aug at our homecoming and some of our parties. I'm just like, what is y'all doing all the way out here? And so it was kind of cool to see.
Yeah, so that's, I've been to some few parties in Central, so I know exactly how you guys get down. That place is... I don't like exactly where the school is at because it's like in the middle of neighborhoods and downtown. Like, I just don't like that area. The location kind of sucks to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, yeah, this school is dope, man. It's, when it's turn up time, it's really turn up time. And I remember the first time going to that school, it really threw me off because it's the first time I got to see a lot of Black people in one place.
Yeah.
As a school institution, you know what I mean? It's like, damn, all these Black people in one place?
Mm-hmm.
What? This is crazy, man. Because all my life, I've always been a mixed school. I mean, of course, mm-hmm. white folks, Mexicans, all these people, man.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went over there, I was like, there's no white people?
There was, okay, don't do us like that. We have white people, but no, the majority is Black of because course. It's an HBCU.
When you look around, you don't see them.
Mm-mm.
It's very few of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's like, where are they?
They're there. They're in sports.
And we the outsiders. So you, of course, you know better because you go there. We mm-hmm. the outsiders. So we're looking in. We don't see nobody. It's like, well, we don't see no white folks over here. This is all Black over here.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, when you go to class, of course, now you have you got a few white folks coming in. Of course, you got the Africans and all these mm-hmm. other backgrounds coming in. So, but yeah, I do love Central. I have so many friends of mine that actually went to Central and they graduated as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a school that I'm really, really familiar with. I've been to so many graduation in Central.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, shout out to Central, man. They take a lot of Africans. And again, a lot of Africans like to take their nursing route. And that's where they go. So you'll see a lot of Africans in that school doing their nursing career. So that's a school we're really, really familiar with.
Fun fact is we have one of the hardest nursing schools to get into.
Yeah, you were lying.
And there's no lie that it's really hard to get into our nursing program, but they expect the best. So if you're the best, then that's your school to be at. And it does have a lot of Africans. We do have a African club or organization on campus, ASFABA. Shout out to them. I joined and, you know, kind of came and went to a couple of their events throughout like the time I was there. And I got to participate in their African night that was in, I believe it was March. Was it February? I think it was March. It was in March, so that was really fun. I got to model for them. We got to model our African attire, and so that was really fun. Mm-hmm. We did acting. They had a dancing segment, so it was just a good way to see all the different African cultures there. I do believe... I was the only Kenyan there, so there was a lot more Ghanaians and Nigerians, of course. You see them in large groups, and a couple Congolese, but and Liberians, surprisingly. There was actually a lot of Liberians, but I was the only Kenyan, and I think there was, like, maybe one other East African country. I think the guy was from Eritrea. He was on the royal court for it, and so I'm just like, but as in, like, the crew who was participating, dancing, doing all this, I was like... You know, I'm a rep East Africa here. Oh, brought my flag and everything.
Oh, you got the flag too. Oh, shout out to
you. Yeah, everybody
you,
else had their problem. Just like, yeah, no, hold on, wait a minute. Now I'm not seeing any East African countries over here.
Yes.
I'm seeing West after West after West. I said, no. I'm coming to the front.
Yo, shout out to you, man. I appreciate that. That's a good look, man. Yes, put us on the map for sure. Why not? Let make us look good, man. I'm so proud of you. That's big. So now you can act?
I didn't do the acting segment, but I did do a little bit of acting in middle school. I took a lot of like theater classes because they offered like so many electives in middle school. And so I did a lot of them. So I did some acting ones, learning about plays and all these type of stuff. And so, which was kind of fun. So I'm not gonna hold you. Acting is a lot of fun. You get to get out of character, try new things, improv. I think improv is the funnest part because you're just going off the top of your head.
Yeah.
So maybe if I had more time, I did have a lot of things going on with like my classes. So if I had more time to dedicate to like the club, I would have been able to, you know, try to participate in more of the events they had that day. But I was on the board. I was actually the president of the Red Cross crew at the school, and was a shadowing chair for MAPS at the school. So that's Minority Student Association of Pre-Medical Students. So,
look at you.
A lot of things. I didn't want to stretch myself too thin. So, I had to be careful what I was doing. I'm just like, oh, these look all so much fun to do, but what are my grades going to look like afterwards?
No, shout out to you, man. You're making us proud, man, for sure, man. By the way, I did attend a graduation. She just graduated not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember in your graduation, you mentioned something that stuck into my mind because you say you want to pursue, even though you mentioned you want to do therapy, mm-hmm. But you mentioned something about you want to be a doctor in the future or something like that.
Yeah, so physical therapy requires you to get a doctorate's degree. So what am I applying for DPT? So doctorates of physical therapy school. And so after the 3 years, I'll be graduating with my license in physical therapy, but my doctorate's in physical therapy. So that gives me the right to have doctor in the front of my name. So I'll be Dr. Jacoyo, physical therapy or physical therapist. So that's something that is big, you know, first doctor in the family. So,
yeah, of course. Shout out to you, man. You making your parents and your family really, really proud. And a salute to you for that. And this is one of the main reasons why I wanted to have you on my platform as a guest is because a lot of people probably around your age, they tend or at least they don't see school or education their route to go anymore. For whatever reason, maybe because they discovered music, which is not a bad idea. I'm not saying that's a bad thing to pursue, but I'm just saying if you notice the dropouts, it's the number is pretty high.
Yeah. While I was in school, they even told us coming in freshman year, they said, look to your left, look to your right. Just know all these people in your class are not going to be the same people you'd be walking across the stage with. And they were absolutely right. Absolutely. Oh, look at my words. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
They, a lot of people dropped out after the first semester and then slowly afterwards like that. So I feel like a large majority dropped out after freshman year, a little bit sophomore year, and then like the last group of people dropped out maybe junior, like the first semester. But by the time you reach junior year, you're already in your department. And so usually by that time, people like are sure of what they want to do and like they've already gotten this far, so they're going to see it through. So not too many people dropping out after that. But yeah, there was definitely a lot of dropouts. And I do feel like a lot of people my age didn't go to school or like they started and like stopped. And I do believe a lot of this has to be with kind of due with social media. So I see a lot of people blew up off of TikTok, especially during COVID, since everybody was at home chilling. You know, people picked up their cameras, you know, vlogged their day-to-day, just talking, funny videos. And so a large group of people became TikTokers and started making, like, genuine money, money that most people didn't expect for someone to be on the app. Because before, TikTok was just dancing and stuff like that, but now it's become, like, way more. And so I guess people seem like, oh, if they can do it, I can do it. And so some people put like all their force into that and try to find like shortcuts to making money. Not saying TikTok is like completely easy because there's a whole setup and they have a routine to it. But I do feel like more people should have went to school or at least kept it as a backup option, like stay in school and try to do both at the same time so that if, you know, God forbid, whatever you're trying to do doesn't succeed, you have something to fall back on. And a lot of people went full force into it, and unfortunately, it didn't work out for them. OF started being a big thing. Surprisingly, there was a girl in my year who actually ended up there, and I was just like, oh, my God. Like, why are we? No. She was promoting her, I think her Twitter is where she was promoting her OF, because Instagram is a little more restrictive on you, like, posting certain things. But, you know, Twitter lets you post whatever. And so, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, what is going on?
It's interesting you just mentioned that, because I was about, that was actually my next question. You, of course, we have a lot of people who took that route with their OF, and of course the income is super nice, so they like that. They stick to that. What really made you stick to school and not take these routes? Because again, by this time you are a grown person, nobody can tell you what to do. Your decisions matter. You're the one who actually factors in your life which way to go. So what really made you have that discipline? Say, you know what, self, I'm going to really stick to this school. I'm going to finish this path. And until then, nothing will stop me. Even though you can see other people dropping and you see other people doing other these things that's also bringing money in.
I would say I want to give all the credit to my parents. My dad has been a big advocate for school since the moment we touched ground here. Like, school is important. Knowledge is power. I don't know who quoted that, but just know it's someone's. So I'm not trying to take credit, but knowledge is power.
Yes.
And so, and knowledge is currency. If you have knowledge, you can do more. Well, you know, they say if you know better, you do better.
Yeah.
You can't do better if you don't know. And education is very powerful. And so my dad was always just like, you know, if you go to school, the longer you're in school, the less you'll have to work because you're in higher positions, because you have these degrees that other people didn't find the need or the interest or didn't have the energy to bother to do. And so if you push through, you're going to be one of the few people who decided to go all the way with school. They got their bachelor's or their master's and their doctorate, pushing it all the way. It's like a smaller pool of people who go all the way. And so for those few people, they earn a lot of money. And earning all that money allows you freedom to do the things that you actually love. So make all this money, and let's say you have a hobby and like crafts or whatever. Now you have the funds and the freedom and the leeway, I should say, to be able to fund those things. You can start up your own business because you have the funds to do that, because you're in a position where you can do that. Saying like you straight from high school, you know, you don't got that much money. You living with your parents. You know, you might not even have a car yet. Like, life isn't easy in this economy where inflation is big. Everything's going up and up. Getting an apartment, rent is up, mortgages are up. It's not easy. Everything wants to go to hell when we decide to become adults now. So it's giving, what do you want your life to look like in the end? And I told myself, I'm like, I want a degree because I know in the long run it's going to benefit me, and I'll be able to do more with this knowledge that I'll gain.
Very true. Oh, my God. Smart, smart, smart idea, smart choice. I love that for you. That is super, super, super dope, man. Obviously, like you mentioned, knowledge is power. And fortunately, I mean, I do agree. There's some people who say school is not for everybody, which is very, very true. I get that. I understand that. And also at the same time, schools also is not cheap. Because of course you can testify to that. Like,
thank God for financial aid.
Exactly. It's a lot of money you have to come up with. You know what I mean? These people also take a lot of loans. Even after they graduate, they still have to pay back all these loans. And remember, there's also interest that comes with it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we get that. We get all of that. But it's just a bigger picture out of all this disaster you can see right here. I don't want to call it disaster, but anyway, you get the point. I want people back home, because, you know, back in Kenya, or at least back in Africa, we have a lot of folks who are struggling. Like, their main goal to come on this side is because they want to go to school. You know what I mean? Even though some of them come here and they end up being lost. Mm. Yeah, they fall into this, of course, smoking, I mean, yeah, drinking, bad influences, bad crowd, and pretty much just doing bad decisions. I want these people when when they look at you right now from Africa or whatever they are, they don't have to be just Africans, but I'm just using Africans as an example.
Because, you know, we're Africans.
Yeah, we're Africans. Yes, definitely. Most of the time, my platform, I usually like to speak to Africans, even though I know it's a worldwide thing. It goes all over the world. But mm-hmm. In my mind, I'm usually talking to Africans mostly. If you look at the camera, what would you tell an African kid right now who has bigger hope to go to school or at least is looking forward to come to America and pursue more knowledge or more education?
I would tell them what a lot of the different programs I was looking for DP2 school always told us, that they recommend, like, whenever you're struggling in school, know your why. Why? What is your why? What is the reason why you're doing what you're doing? Why are you pursuing school? And hold it close to your heart, because when things get hard, that's what you're going to look at. Why am I doing this? When you have a bunch of exams due at the same time, you're behind on your assignments, and your friends are telling you they haven't seen you in forever, you're drowning in all the work and stress. In that moment, you need to remember what your why is. Why are you doing this? That's what's going to motivate you to continue on when things are hard. Why am I doing this? Am I doing this to please my parents? Am I doing this because that's what you're supposed to do? That's what they tell you to do? Or are you doing this because that's what you want to do? This is your dream. This is your passion. This is what you want to do. You have a bigger picture in mind, that you have a life that you envision for yourself, and you know this is one surefire way to get there. So I would say know your why and push your way all the way through, because at the end of the day, there's always light at the end of the tunnel. No one said fame, success, or whatever dream you have, they do not come easy. The world does not reward lazy people. You need to work hard for what you want. And I feel like coming from immigrant parents and being an immigrant myself, that's something I heard all the time. Like, laziness is not an excuse. You have to work hard for what you want, because no one is going to give it to you, ever. Nothing in this life is free. So if you want it, you have to go up and get it. So I say try. Or at least die trying.
Just like 50 say, yeah, get rich or die trying. So at least, exactly, die trying. Oh my God, amen to that, man. I should just, you said it the best. You know, what I really, really like about you, it's because, one, you're a female. You know, in this society, a lot of females believe men are providers. So they believe the only thing they can do is just look good and everything will just happen. You know what I mean? A man will just come out of nowhere and just take you or marry you or whatever. Mm. And life will just be great. And in your situation, that's not the case. How comes?
That's all thanks to my dad. My dad, when he dropped me off after helping me, like, load up my stuff and, like, set up my room, I think he took me out to, you know, just grab something to eat afterward, you know, something to nibble on when I get back. And he told me that you're here to get an education because you need to be able to take care of yourself. I don't want you in a predicament where you're depending on some man to take care of you and you have nothing for yourself to help you get out of a situation. And as much as, like, you know, pretty privilege is a thing, you do get a lot of advantages by being attractive. But at the end of the day, beauty fades. And at the end of that, what will you have? When you get old and gray and you become a shosho, what are you going to have when your beauty fades? Because no one likes talking to someone who's dumb. Like, you're talking and you feel like they're not really getting what you're saying, and, like, it's really surface level. After a while, that gets boring. And a man trying to take care of you and paying for all these things, paying for your shoes, your clothes, makeup, jewelry, all of this gets tiring, because for that person, they're going to work. They're working for that. Like, that's their money. Even though you guys got married and y'all got joint stuff, he's putting all the work. And what are you doing to contribute to your household? What are you going to leave behind for your kids, if you even want kids? Like, what are you going to leave behind? And something my friend said really resonates to me. And she always says that her grandpa asked her, so what is your impact? Like, what is your service to mankind? What will you do when this life is over? What would you say your service to mankind was? And if you have nothing to say for yourself, then, I mean, I really feel bad for you, because you know, you only get one life, and hopefully you would want to benefit yourself and also benefit the people who are going to be here after you're long gone. Because a lot of us are in the situations or have the privileges and advantages that we have because of people who came before us. They put in the work. They did all these things. They opened these doors for us to be even in the rooms we're in now. So we need to continue opening doors, especially as Black people. Seems like we're the most hated for whatever reason. Yep. And so I always see a lot where people are saying, like, you know, everybody has a sad story. But the difference is whether you're going to use that as your excuse or your motivator to do better. So that's my take on it.
Oh, yes. Amen to that. Whoa. Okay, she's killing this joint today. I don't like that. Okay. So in your situation, let's say, for example, right, this is actually moving into the dating. We're going to jump into dating. Now, since you have a degree, right, would you consider dating someone who doesn't have a degree?
I would say no. Just not because I think I'm better than that person, just for the simple fact that I don't want to put myself in a situation where it feels that I'm competing with my partner for like who's doing better and what, like, oh, she got the degree, but I got the money, or like a jealousy thing comes into play. I don't know. I feel like I watch too much true crime and I hear too many stories of jealous men killing their wives or their girlfriends or their partners because they felt emasculated because they see their partner doing well in life and they feel like they have to compare themselves. It's just like, dang, like she's doing this, she got this, and what do I got to say for it? And so that puts you guys at odds, and I don't want to be that. So I want to start at an even playing field, like we're equals. I have a degree, you have a degree, and like together we'll build ourselves up. Oh. Not to say you shouldn't date anyone who doesn't have a degree, but that person should be motivated to want to do more for themselves. Like, if they don't have a degree, or do they got a trade or something? Are they working towards anything? Because, like you said, not everyone wants to go to school or have the motivation or the strength to do so. So if they're not going to do that, what are they doing for themselves at that time? Because if they're a bum,
miss no. you. Huh? They have to miss you, right?
You're going to have to leave that alone.
But if they make you money,
and working hard and got a passion and like they got a good character, then I say I don't see anything wrong with that.
Okay. Let me ask you the $1 million question that everybody be asking in every pod. Today I'm gonna ask you my pod because I've never asked this before. So when they say, "What do you bring to the table?" In your case, what would you say?
What do I bring to the table? That's a good question. I never ever thought too hard about this because in my mind, it's not what does who bring to the table. It's giving how can we support each other? Because a relationship, in my opinion, you start off as partners because you're going towards marriage. For me, you know, as a Christian, you know, we're going to date or court until we get married. And so I'm thinking in the long run, how are we going to support each other? So we're both in school, you know, we got education on our side and, you know, I'm working, you're working. We both have our Christian values for me. And so I feel like who I am as a person, I say that's what I bring to the table because it's not about materialistic things. It's about you as a human being.
Okay.
Because how are we going to work together? Because now we're a team and we are deciding to take on life together. And that's not an easy feat. So how are we going to do this together? How can I motivate you? How can you motivate me? How can I push you? How can you push me? And how do we bounce off of each other? That's how I look at it.
Oh, that is dope. I like that. Oh, man. Okay. So, guys, if you're out there and you're actually thinking of shooting a shot, and you don't have a degree.
Actually, no, don't shoot your shot. I am happily in a relationship.
Oh shit, she's even taken, so never mind. Even if you have a degree, never mind.
You know what Lotto says, shout out to my man. Thank you to my man.
Yeah, go ahead, give him a shout out, no problem at all. Because you see, that was the next question I was going to ask you. Since you already answered it, you know, relationship, how is it dating at your young age?
I'll say in this relationship, I feel like everything is really well, really well. I feel like I kind of fell into a relationship. We started off as friends. You know, I wasn't really thinking of a relationship. I think at the time I had just gotten out of a situationship. So dating wasn't anywhere on my mind. I'm just like, ugh. And I got school stressing me out and this thing didn't work out. So let me just put all my focus into school. And so he was a friend. And so we used to hang out a lot and, you know, get to know each other. He's also Kenyan. So we bonded over that. Yeah. Uh-huh. He's actually been helping me with my Swahili. Shout out to him for that, for real. And so we just started hanging out a lot more and more and more. And then it got to the point where I realized, I'm just like, dang, I really enjoy being around this person. And I was just like, do I like him? I had to question myself. I'm like, do I like him? And so when I realized it, I was just like, okay, well, let me test out the theory. We hanging out. How do I feel when we're not together? Is he on my mind a lot? How do I feel our relationship is as friends? And I felt everything was really good. And I felt like he might have liked me too. So, you know, it came to a point where we had a conversation. He was just like, yeah, I like you. And I was like, I like you too. And so we was just like, you know what? Let's go for it. And so I feel like it happened all really organically compared to my past relationships or situationships, I should say. Not all of them ended up in relationships. And I was really grateful for it. Because in this generation, is not too easy. I feel like it's really transactional now. You said, a lot of people always worry about what you bring to the table. And so it was kind of hard trying to find my person or my rib, as, you know, the Christian girlies like to say, what's my rib? And so that was really nice for us to find each other the way we did. And we both stopped and we've been talking and we looked at each other. We're just like, I'm so grateful I found you. Because looking back on our past relationships or situationships, we're just like, we really dealt with a lot. And this generation it was a mess. And not too many of us are fortunate enough to find our person who matches us.
Yes.
So that was definitely a blessing.
Oh, shout out to you guys. That is a blessing for sure. And I pray for you guys to make it. So do you trust him, first of all?
Yes, 100%.
Because, you know, in this generation, when it comes to cheating, it's
yeah, everyone's always worried the next person's going to cheat on them. And unfortunately, we have the whole world in the palm of our hands here.
Yes.
And so I feel like a lot of people are convinced or delude themselves into believing they can have so many people. They have there's this girl I see on Instagram and this baddie or this whatever. In reality, we were never supposed to have this much access to all these people that we do now.
Yeah.
So most of these people you see on the internet, the chance of y'all meeting or working out is very slim.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't really know what to say. It's hard and you got to be careful. And I do say that for all the ladies out there, you need to stick to your boundaries. Don't move them for a single person, not even a millimeter. Because when you do, that's when people start taking advantage of you. You end up with cheaters, narcissists, abusers, or whatever else we got out here. I know that's a big word you see on the internet now. Narcissists, a lot of narcs out there.
Yes.
So you got to know what you're looking for and the person you have in your mind. And you should slowly just gradually get to know the person. Because I feel like a lot of people rush into sleeping with people. And then that creates all those soul ties and you feel overly connected, but you barely know each other. And I don't know. I feel like people should take it a little bit slower. As they say, you should court, you know, go on a couple of dates, get to know each other. ask the real necessary questions. Get to know the true character. And I feel like a good way to tell how someone is when you guys get into a disagreement. That's a big thing with me. How you handle arguments or disagreements. Do they shout? Do they isolate themselves? Like, how do they handle that situation? It could tell you a whole lot about that person. Because if this is how you act when you're mad, then I don't think this is going to work out. You shouting and yelling.
Yes.
And it's getting real loud. It's getting toxic. It's getting bad. Then that's not it. If this is a person who's willing to give you your space, take a moment, hit pause, and like, okay, we're both really upset right now. Let's take a step back, get our bearings together, and come back together. Try to, you know, talk this through. You know, someone who's open to dialogue. And a lot of people, I feel like, are not open to criticism or positive criticism. People do not like hearing that they're wrong at all.
I agree to that. But you just mentioned something also, dates, going on dates. Do people go on dates still?
I don't know. I feel like a lot of people do a lot of Netflix and chilling or like hanging out. And I think people should really go out on more dates. But I feel like that topic of what brings to the table, the red pill talk community whoever else. Yes. They're just like, oh, you know, these girls, they just want your money. And they just going on these dates to get a free meal and all this and that. And there's definitely women like that. I'm not going to sit here and try to defend that, because that's not cool. But I do know that there's some women who do that, but there's also plenty of good people. And so I feel like people get caught up in social media, like, oh, this fancy day, he bought me flowers, he's buying me this Dior bag, Chanel, all these nice things. And that's honestly really superficial, because our relationship, for you guys to stick together for the long run, that purse is not going to help you. That new purse, those new kicks, they are not going to help you.
Yeah.
Like, people are way into the internet. They think their boyfriends or significant others are supposed to be flying them out, buying extremely expensive stuff. And then you got to take a moment to think for yourself. I am 22 years old. Not that many people my age, regular people who are not influencers who make a whole bunch of money or a celebrity, they can't afford to be flying me out all the way to Dubai and France and to Kenya. We on safaris. And no, that's, you gotta be realistic. Gotta be realistic. Like, wait a minute. Like, you guys can start off with something small. I feel like a lot of people are not humble enough. Like, you can go on a small date. Get some ice cream. Ice cream isn't expensive. Get a little ice cream. Yeah. Chat, walk around. Like, be creative.
Very true.
There's so many ways you can do stuff. You know, you guys can have like a little study session, study date, Bible study session, something. You can do other things that doesn't require you to go to Ruth's Chris, a shopping spree through the mall, or revolves around them spending all this money on you, or you exchanging your body for it. Because I feel like a lot of that is exchange. You expect this person to do all these things.
Yeah.
And in turn, you're just like, oh, I'm just going to be here and be pretty. And like, you know, we're going to do what we do. But what's underneath all of that? Like, how are y'all together as people?
That is extremely true. I agree to that. But again, it's been a long time since I've seen people. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me twisted. But it's a long time I had someone asking somebody else for a date. It's like, just like you mentioned, people do a lot of Netflix and chill. That's not a date. It's just a movie session. Probably try to get laid. I said that's pretty much how that goes. But it's not a date at all. It's been a while since I've seen someone like, okay, you know what? We
should go out. Let's go get dinner. Let's go watch a movie. Let's go play a game of basketball, some soccer, something. Do something outside. Get them out there in the world. Because you learn a lot about a person that way. How do they carry themselves in this situation? How do they present themselves? I know a lot of people are just like, oh, I hate when people are rude to waiters. You would never know that person was like that until you went on a dinner date with them.
That's true.
And you see them just talking all kinds of ways to the waiter or the waitress. Like, you learn a lot about a person when you see them interacting with other people in different settings. So I do believe people should go out a lot more. Y'all should go on dates.
But you know, again, this is something I keep saying over and over and over. females or girls wants a bad boy. Nobody wants a good boy.
Oh my God.
What do you feel about that?
I feel like every girl, not every girl, let me not even say that. Some girls, I fear that I have fallen into this category. I have had my bad boy phase. And I don't really know. I really do blame the movies and the TV shows we watch. They always make it seem like they're so cool and mysterious and like living life on the edge. And you're like, they're Bonnie till they Clyde. Please, no. You're the India to his Dirk. Like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that at all. Especially if you know that's not the life for you. I feel like that was a wake-up call. I feel like I think my first boyfriend I had in high school, he was kind of like that. And a lot of people were just like, I'm surprised this is who you're dating. Because you're very active in school. You're doing all these things for you. You're planning to go to college. And people didn't really picture me dating a YN. Sorry for, I don't have a better term, but I feel like a lot of people know what a YN is.
Exactly, yeah.
Basically dating a little YN at the time. And so I'm just like, you know what? I'm just like, you know, he's a nice guy. And my mom, I'm like, he's a nice guy. I mean, his life choices weren't the best, but hey, who am I to judge? And so everybody has that moment, but I feel like you shouldn't stay in that moment because you got to think of your future. Is giving what kind of relationship you want? Because are you going to be holding them down while they go to jail?
Those are the real questions.
Now your kid's going to be missing their dad because he locked up or he's running the streets or God forbid he passes away because that's just a casualty of playing in the streets. You play in the streets, you're either going to live there, you're going to end up dying there, or you're going to end up in jail. And is that the kind of person you want? And unfortunately, that is not, well, fortunately, not unfortunately. Fortunately for me, that is not what I want. I need someone who is centered in Christ and wants more than the accolades of whatever gang or affiliation they have.
Okay. And since you emphasized so many times you're a Christian, what does a Christian do for fun?
For fun?
Yeah.
What do you mean? I feel like we do a lot of the same things a lot of other people do.
Because, you know,
we might not be out in the clubs or you won't see us popping bottles or anything like that. But there's more to life than just drinking and partying all night long.
I mean, in this generation, that's what people do is either you in the club, you either somewhere drinking or smoking or doing drugs.
Oh, Lord.
Or probably someone just looking for a bunch of women. Like, you know how the game goes, man.
Yeah, I feel like for most people, a lot of the things that, like for me, like what your hobbies are, do you like reading? You can join a reading club. You can go out and play with your friends, soccer. I know a lot of friends of mine, they're in different like soccer groups or whatever. So it's like a group of people, they meet up, they play. And like, good way to get to know people. Bible study is always great. Tennis, whatever your hobbies is, like, I feel like there's so much more than just drinking. Like, your hobbies are the way that we have fun, whatever that may be, whether it's sports, whether it is makeup, vlogging. There's just so much. Crocheting, I know that's a big thing. I've seen people doing those. It look really great. Just fun things. Going out to the beach with your friends, going out to eat. Game nights, hangouts. Like, there's so much you can do that doesn't require you to drink.
You're right about that.
But or even, smoke.
Even for me, for my crew, man, if I take the drinks out, I think they're done.
Done is crazy.
Yeah, it's like now they want to go to sleep. Like, what are we doing? Because if I invite them over to fasting, they think it's like, yo, you got bottles, man? What are we drinking tonight? Do I need to bring something? So if there's no alcohol, it's like, all right, man, so what are we doing?
I know. I've seen a lot of people have now made, like, drinking a thing with everything. Drunk bowling, drunk golfing, well, drunk top golfing. drunk at the beach. I'm just like, oh my God, you do not need to be drunk all these places.
I mean, you are right about that, but this is our biggest issue, especially for us. We are Kenyans. There's something about our DNA with alcohol.
Something about Kenyans and drinking, I do not know what it is.
I'll tell you what it is. It's in our DNA. So something about us, because if you look at the family tree, when I look at my grandparents, my grandfather was drinking. If I look at my parents, my dad was drinking. Mm-hmm. If I look at my older brother, he's drinking and he's still drinking. If I look at myself, I am drinking. If I look at my younger brother, he's drinking.
Oh my!
So it's like a tree, and I've seen my cousins like having their kids, they're drinking too. Mm-hmm. So you can see it's a tree. It just keeps trailing all the way down.
Well, you gotta be the person to stop that generational curse right there.
To us, it's not a curse, it's a blessing. But you know what? I try. You see, we're not drinking, we're drinking.
Yeah. But look though, but drinking is not good for you. It can lead to alcoholism. And unfortunately, a lot of people end up addicted and they don't realize it because they do it so often until they're put in a predicament or environment or a group of people who don't drink. They realize, like, dang, like I can't enjoy myself if I don't have a drink with me. Like, nah, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go find me a drink. And then that's when most people really like, yeah, maybe I do got a problem. Like, I never even, like, took them on and be like, yeah, let me do this without a drink.
Don't you think we are addicted to something? Everybody's addicted to something some kind of way.
Yeah, I do feel like a lot of people have different addictions, and they're just different things. People are addicted to the internet, chronically online, drinks, drugs, people. The people are addicted to other people. Yeah. All the crazy fans and stands out there.
Exactly. So the problem is that even when we have this kind of discussion, it's like, okay, you know what? Let's just stop the alcohol. The thing is this. Number one, even look at the food we're eating. It's slowly killing us. We are slowly getting sick because there's so much poisonous in the food we're eating. Mm-hmm. So if you tell them, or at least if you tell us the alcohol is killing us, so is the food. Remember, food we eat all
the
time.
You're trading one poison for another?
No, we're not even trading. We're taking both because
Look
at it this way. We're not drinking every day, but at the same time, we eat every day. Mm-hmm. And there's certain people who eat probably all the time.
Oh, my, yeah.
You know what I mean? So in a day, the guy who eats all the time, how many times is he killing himself? As opposed to someone like us who's probably drinking once a week or maybe twice a month.
I mean, I think everything can be manageable in moderation, but that's the thing, though. Most of the Kenyans I know who drink, they do not do that in moderation. They are drinking every weekend, and it's not just like a couple shots. They're blackout drunk. They're drunk the whole weekend. I remember my boyfriend said when he was in school, like, they was drunk Monday through Friday. I'm just like, oh, no. Thankfully, he doesn't do that anymore, but...
Yeah, that is crazy. Monday to Friday, man. That sounds
or
like
if not Monday through Friday, at least from like the weekend till come that Monday when they got to be back in school doing stuff. That's a lot of drinking for one individual. And it's not even just alcohol, drugs, or whatever. Like, these things are slowly killing you, like you said. And so is food, but you have to take the initiative to decide, like, nah, like, I'm a choose healthier choices because they're out there. And the thing is, though, like, we have the internet at our fingertips. You can look anything you want up online. And if you're too lazy to search through the websites, you can use ChatGPT or AI that will search the internet for you for those specific things that you want to know. So you're not doing the in-depth, like, you on the internet for hours trying to find specific things. It can do it for you. So I feel like there's no excuse. You can choose to eat healthy if you want to. There's places. There's a Whole Foods, or you can go to farmer's market, get it straight from the farmers themselves. Cook at home. Make stuff from scratch. And if you don't have the time, meal prep. Start cook early in the week when you do have time, so you have something for the rest of the week. Maybe make two different kinds of meals. If you know you're one of those people who get tired of eating the same thing after maybe like 2-3 days, switch it up. You made two different kinds of meals. Like, there's definitely ways to better yourself. It's a matter of, are you willing to do it?
Are you willing to do it? My guys are willing to keep drinking, so...
Y'all gotta put that alcohol down.
But you see, even when it comes to drinking, some people don't drink for fun. People drink for different reasons. There's people who are going through stress. Mm. You know what I mean? So they choose to drink to probably try to forget their stress.
Yeah.
There's people that are drinking because of pain. Mm. I mean, they have so much pain in their life that they need alcohol to try to make them forget what's going on. Of course, there's people drinking for fun. Drink so you have a good time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's a bunch of reasons why people drink. So I'm not saying we all alcoholic, but of course most of us Kenyans are alcoholics. That's a fact. I am a Kenyan and I'll tell you guys, most of you guys are alcoholics.
Drinking too much.
Yes, they drink way too much. They don't even eat that much.
They don't. But when it comes, they would drink that whole bottle of Hennessy right there and they still might not even feel it. Like, there's some of y'all are some tanks. Y'all can drink a whole bottle and still be cool as a cucumber. Maybe another bottle, maybe you start, you know, moving, feeling it a bit. Like,
yes.
Y'all, tolerance level just gets higher and higher the more you drink, and that's the trap it gets you into. When it started off with just maybe 2-3 shots, you know, you're feeling kind of buzzed, maybe 5 shots, you know, you're kind of drunk. Now it's taking a whole bottle to get you to where you want to be.
Very true, man. That's why we need more people like you. You know what I'm saying? Be around people like us so we can all stop drinking. We can start drinking water. And not even the juice, just complete water.
It's mainly water because it's so hot. But, yeah, what they say that bad company corrupts good intentions. Yeah.
You and a bunch of you. I don't know if you have any, like, a lot of friends. I don't even know.
Mm-hmm, I do. My core friends. Shout outs to all of y'all out there.
Your core friends and my crew, we need to learn from you guys. Mm. Your friends don't drink either, right? Do they?
Not really. They probably maybe drink max maybe once a month, if even that.
Okay.
It's really more for special occasions.
Yes. You know I'm definitely capping, man, because my friends are not going to stop drinking. What the fuck am I saying, man? I'm just fooling with y'all, man.
The drinking is concerning. And as someone who is in the healthcare field and see the other end of the life, like, you spent your whole 20s drinking, maybe your 30s.
Yes.
Shoot, even your 40s or 50s, and you've been drinking a lot, like... The people in the healthcare, like, we see the brunt of what it does to your body. I'm seeing the x-rays. People are ending up on the transplant list because your liver just stopped working, because that's what the liver is supposed to do, you know, clean out your toxins and stuff, which is basically alcohol. Alcohol is technically a poison, but cleans it out. And you just been abusing it constantly for the past 3 decades. And it decides to give up on you.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the sad truth. That's exactly the truth.
Or you're on heavy medication. Like, it really does a lot to you. Same thing as smoking. I've seen x-rays of lungs that look horrendous. It's giving, why is it so dark? This is supposed to be nice and a pink, healthy lung. But decades on decades, or even maybe like a couple years of consistent smoking, like, you're seeing spots where it should be pink. Yeah. And we weren't meant to be dying at 50. No, we're supposed to be living a long, healthy lives. Like, I've seen 80-year-olds and 90-year-olds moving like they still in their 50s. Moving with, you know, much, like, little issues because they decided to prioritize their health. You only get one life. Why abuse it?
You're right about that. Hopefully, we're going to do better moving forward. Especially us Kenyans. We need to stop drinking this heavy, man. We be drinking heavy. Like, I'm not saying us, like my crew, but I'm saying Kenyans in general. We drink heavy.
You made a point to exclude your friends. Like, yeah, y'all not the tanks?
Nah, we're not the tanks. We, right now, we like a small little car, man. Mr. Bean kind of car, man. We just, like, right there. Mm. We don't drink that much. But, Kenyans in general, man, I mean, right now, I'm trying to help a lot of alcoholics, Kenyan alcoholics right here in America that are going through it because, of course, alcohol, you know what I mean? I'm trying to help them. So for sure, for a fact, yeah, we should definitely fall back on the drinking, man. This is an issue. It's a disease for us, man. We need to stop it.
You got to find other alternatives. Like you said, a lot of people drink for various reasons. Life is hard. Maybe they had a death in the family or just for fun. But you got to find other alternatives, and therapy might be a suggestion. Me, I'm going to tell you, pick up that Bible. That's the best therapy you're going to get right there. But finding other ways to pour into other outlets for all that pain or grief or anxiety that you have in your life, there's other ways to deal with it outside of, like, alcohol. Like, you can exercise. Like, when things, you feel like life is hard and you just want to get away from everything, take a jog. Take a jog. Or people who like to do puzzles, distract you from your daily life, do something like that. Do things that are going to benefit you in the long run. Like, yeah, you might get stressed out and decide to waste maybe like an hour at the gym or something, maybe because instead of doing what you're supposed to be doing. But at least it's not going to harm you in the long run like alcohol will. Because I would hate to see any of y'all in the hospital. Definitely don't want y'all dying a premature death.
But don't you think we actually need them? Because this is how we make a living.
Make a living on what?
The patients.
If you're a true healthcare provider, your goal is not to have people come in. When you come in, we want you to get better and leave.
If there's nobody coming in, then there's no job.
And that would be okay with me, honestly.
Yeah, you. But generally, the point is to make money.
Yeah, I will say, like, the people, like, the big pharmacies and the big donors for the hospitals and stuff, you know, they do make it harder for people to receive care and stuff. Or, you know, some people might not give you the best suggestion. It just helps just enough for you to get feel a little better, but still have to come in. But,
yeah, that's the system. The system is based like that. The hospital is not to cure you no more.
But that's why we need more people going into the medical field, especially Black and brown people, because we do have a higher rate of certain conditions and ailments. And unfortunately, there's really not that many of us. I'm going into physical therapy, and 4% of that is physical therapists in the world. Black people make up 4%, and even less than 2% of them are Black women. So people need to see more people like us, people who can understand your situation. They hear you, they believe your pain and your concern, who actually want to see you doing better. Because if you come into the health field and, you know, it pays well or whatever, but, you know, there's an oath you're supposed to take, and it's to do no harm. We're here to help you. So, God forbid we have to see you again. We don't want to see you again. We want you to come in, you get better, and you have no reason to come in unless it's for something slight, like a little, you know, coming in for a vaccine or something.
Yeah, yeah. I believe you, and I'm praying for that, because that's the goal of life. But unfortunately, that's not the reality, you know what I mean? Mm-mm. That's not there. So, but I'm praying that's exactly what happens in the future, because I've seen a lot of people suffering. I have so many patients I've been visiting. I'm like, Jesus Christ, you try to tell me this is the best they can do? Mm-hmm. I know there's answers to this, but they don't want to give it to you for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, we're going back to the money part, because they want to make money out of you. If you get better right now, they're losing money from you, so they need you here, and this is how they make their money. Mm. So, but that's a whole different ball game. But we need more people like you, because the future will get better, it'll be better. What else can I ask you? Shit. Oh yeah, you do have a younger sister, right? What old is she?
She is 21.
Oh, you back to back?
Mm-hmm. We are.
Oh, my goodness. So she's really following your footsteps. Whatever you're doing, she's watching you.
That's what my parents used to say a lot when I was younger. They're just like, I used to get annoyed because I felt like she was always following me around. And I'm just like, you just leave me alone. Like, I just want to do my own thing. And I didn't ask for an extra shadow. And my parents are just like, yeah, she's looking up to you, looking up to you. But as we got older and our personalities came out, I would definitely say, even though we're a year apart, we're very different. Actually, a lot of people think she's my older sister because she's like a little bit taller than me. And yeah, we couldn't be more different. She's more extroverted. She likes to go out, have fun. You probably see her outside more than you see me. I get that a lot. A lot of people are just like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen you. Or like, Or, like, they're having a party or, like, a club somewhere, and they're just like, oh, you know, you should come out. I'm just like,
No.
It's not my scene, unfortunately. I can't stand the crowds, and I hate when everyone's all sweaty and rubbing up on you. It's too much. I don't like it.
Have you been to a club before?
I have been to a couple clubs, and that's how I know it's not for me.
African clubs? Or just, was it, like, just an American club?
No, I don't think I have been to an African club. I went to, like, a regular club that a lot of, like, Africans actually ended up going to because it was after African Night. So we all went to this particular club, which was a lot of fun, a lot of dancing. It was too hot in there. It was too hot. I was just like, oh, my gosh. I feel like I left and went outside, like, maybe, like, five times throughout the night or maybe even more. Because it was just that hot. Like, it's too much. It's not my thing. Honestly, I like more intimate settings. Just me and a couple friends that I really like. We're kicking it, watching a movie, game night. Those are more my settings. But her, she's different. You'll see her at the clubs. You'll see her at parties. She's more, like, social. She really likes talking to people. For me, it takes me a little bit longer to warm up to people. So, completely different.
Completely opposite. God, what's the irony? Because even your brother DJs.
And he's more extroverted, too. Both of them ended up really extroverted and out and about and, you know, thrive in those, you know, environments. And me, I can't do it. The same thing with alcohol. I feel like all the Kenyans are just like, oh, she doesn't drink. I'm like, no, I don't drink. I've tried drinking before. I hate the taste of it.
Oh, you've tried before? What did you try? Tequila?
I've tried a little bit of everything. I've tried brown. I've tried white. All of them make my stomach hurt. It stinks. And it's just, no. Like, I just do not have the taste for it at all. Like,
I don't blame you.
I can't get down with it.
Yeah, there's nothing good in here. I don't blame you.
Stomach hurting is the main one. My stomach be feeling all twisted up and nice. And then just, and then they tell you, you know, you shouldn't let it sit on your tongue because it doesn't taste good.
Yes.
And I'm just like, then why are we drinking this?
It's just the feeling, the buzz you get after you drink.
Oh, no, I'm not a big fan of feeling completely out of control because I feel like that puts you in dangerous situations. You're so drunk, you can't do nothing for yourself. And God forbid something could happen to you and you won't have the reaction time to do anything about it because alcohol is a depressant. It slows down all your movements, your thoughts. You're just mellowed out or like, for some people, they really hyped up and they just want to dance and move around. But it takes you out of your mind and allows temptations to come in and people make very poor decisions when they're drunk.
Yeah, it's true. But I've seen also people drinking alcohol and end up winning, especially when it comes to music. I've seen a lot of drunkards make good music when they drink. I've seen a lot of mechanics fixing vehicles really nice after they drink.
Oh.
So I'm like, I don't know.
Functioning alcoholics.
Yeah, it's like... I'm like, yo, this shit actually play both sides. I don't know.
It'll hit you in different areas. Maybe it might not be affecting their work, but it's affecting their home life, their relationship.
Maybe
their partner, their kids, or whatever it is. You're going to feel the impact somewhere.
I mean, then again, that's what you call life, man. Even people who don't drink, sometimes they're still struggling home with the other significant. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I'm saying, like, the alcohol itself is what's causing the issue. You drink so much, now your wife is on your neck because she's
What if she,
like,
drinks too? Both of y'all drinking together.
Oh my gosh. Poor example for the children. I wouldn't trust no alcoholics around my child. That'd be insane. I'd be like, oh no. How am I not in the mind state to take care of yourself in the best condition? Why would I leave my child around you?
But you know, most of the time when they're drinking in the late hours. Like, let's say, like, tonight is Saturday. So when the kids are about to go to bed, that's when they start drinking.
I guess that's real responsible.
Yeah, it's not like they're making a stupid mistake. Like, okay, we over here drinking. We're supposed to be in the kitchen fixing dinner.
Oh,
like,
no.
They don't do that. You know what I mean? They wait till when everything's calmed down. The kids are done. They're about to go to bed or just playing around. And then after that, they're about to go to sleep. That's when you start drinking, playing music, relaxing.
I feel like if you're going to drink, I don't recommend it. But if that's something that you're just like, no, it's something I won't ever give up, then I would say do it in moderations like that. Like, know when is a good time. Like, there's a time and place for everything.
That's true.
You shouldn't be on the clock, you know, taking shots in the back office or something like that.
When you do shit like that, you need help. Yeah, you out of here. You need help.
if you're only drinking on the weekends with your friends and y'all are being responsible and not drinking and driving, because a lot of y'all drunks be behind that wheel, and unfortunately, too many people have died at the hands of those.
Oh,
people.
My God. Actually, you just reminded me. Yeah, that's another biggest problem we have as Kenyans.
Driving drunk?
Yeah, yes. Driving drunk, and right now, as we speak, we are fighting for a few Kenyans who are locked up because of that.
They were drinking and driving?
And they don't have their papers right.
Yep.
So it's a big problem because now you have to get lawyers to fight all them cases and then the drinking part. So, oh my God, man. And this is something they could have avoided. They know, they're grown people.
Get an Uber.
They know.
Get an Uber. And if you don't have the money, then who told you to go out somewhere and you can reasonably get to where you need to and get back safely without risking the other people on the road? And that's the main reason why people get in trouble for that is you're putting everyone else on the road in danger. I might be careful and watching out for other cars, but you are not in your perfect mind because you've been drinking, you've had like several shots, you're a little buzzed, the lines are looking a little blurry, you might weave over to the other lane a little bit, or you know, or you're going too fast. And
or sometimes you fall asleep in the car.
Yeah, like anything can happen. Yeah. And now someone else is severely injured because of something you decided to do.
Yes.
Or God forbid someone dies. And that's a lot. That's what happens in a lot of cases.
Man. Yeah.
You get into a really bad accident and someone loses their life.
Yeah.
If not you as well. Because now two lives are lost. And what was gained?
Nothing.
What was gained? Nothing. Now someone is missing a daughter or a son or a father or grandpa. You don't know. Like, you don't know who you might run into on the road and unfortunately take their lives because you decided, you know, it wouldn't hurt. Like, I hear a lot of people who do drink and drive, they'd be like, no, like, I'm one of those people who knows what they're doing. I know, like, I can drink and drive. Like, I always make it back home until that one night you don't make it home.
Actually, those ones who say that, stay away from them.
Right, they be the worst drivers. You in the backseat, scared for your life.
Oh my God, do not ever get in a car when someone tells you some shit like that. Like, okay, I got it. I can drink and drive. Oh no, run for your life. And you've seen in a lot of situations when something goes down, they get to survive and you get to go.
Yes, I did see a lot of those.
It's the saddest thing ever. They always survive. I don't know why, but you get to go.
Yeah, I feel like that's their karma. As their comeuppance, this, you are surviving so you can feel the weight of your decision. Because you dying, nah, you getting away easy. Now you have to face not also the legal ramifications, but the moral ramification of taking someone else's life. Because when you go to court, their family's going to be there. You're going to be looking at their kids, their wife, their husband, their parents. You're going to be looking them in the face and they're going to be testifying. They're just like, this person took one of the most loved people in my life away. How are you going to feel? You're looking at a little kid crying because their dad didn't come home because you decided that you could make it. Like, you knew what you were doing. In actuality, you didn't.
Yeah. It's sad. But again, if you know you're an alcoholic out there, please seek help. Mm-hmm. Stop drinking. If you Kenyan, you already know, you know, a DNA, somewhere in there, it says alcohol. I don't know why. Stop drinking, man. I know we can do it, man. We got juice. You can drink juice. We got water. You know what I mean? So there's other options, man. Maybe you can drink wine. Wine is not that bad. And the good thing about wine, it makes you sleepy. You drink that and you go to sleep. Go to bed. You know what I mean? Stay home. So there's other options. Just stay away from liquor. I know my show usually has leak on the table, but you don't have to drink it. You can just look at it. I'm saying, just smile at it.
Yeah, just fantasize about it. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. That's the most you can do, man.
And if you are going to drink in moderation. Know when is enough. Know your limit. A lot of people don't know their limit. End up blackout drunk. Know your limit. How much does it take for you to get drunk? How much does it take for you to get tipsy? Know when to stop. Make sure you have those rides ahead of time. Like, okay, I'm going to the club. I'm going to take an Uber back. If you know you're going to be too drunk to be able to call an Uber or be aware enough to make sure the Uber driver gets you there safely and they're not like some weirdo or like arrange something with like a designated driver. for your group, or like you have a friend who's not going out, but you know, they'll be free that evening to come get you. Just make the correct choices. Yes. So your choices aren't affecting other people.
I agree, man. She kind of, that's the, please listen to her. Best advice ever. Do not drink. Stop drinking. If you're young, you haven't started drinking, please stay away from this. This is not the way to go. So please, please, please do not do it. As we end up, man, do you like traveling?
I do. I haven't got to do too much traveling. Been in school for a while, and so that's been eating up all my money. But I definitely want to travel. I'm here to see new places, learn about new cultures, see different scenes. I say God made a very beautiful world, and I want to see as much as I can before I go.
Nice, nice. Have you ever thought, or at least, have you ever thought, or at least have the idea of relocating back to Kenya?
Yeah, I did. I was thinking of maybe having a home here and having a home in Kenya. You know, divide up my time, or maybe spend most of my time at home and, you know, come back here every once in a while. Something along the lines. I don't want to lose that connection back to home, because I feel like that happens to a lot of people, a lot of the kids.
Yes.
You come here with your parents, and then, you know, you grow up in America, you become Americanized, and you kind of forget everything about home. You slowly forget the language, and you're to the point where you can't even understand it. And so you don't really have a reason to go back.
Facts. I agree to that. Well, I want to thank you so much for stopping by. I had a good time with you. So much to share for us. I hope you guys learned a lot. If you didn't learn anything, please go back, rewind the whole thing, start all over again, listen to it. If you didn't get nothing again, rewind the whole thing all over again, start and listen to the whole thing. Thank you so much for stopping by. There's so much you told us. I don't know if you want to share any other thing you forgot to say.
I don't think I forgot anything. You know, I recommend everyone pick up a Bible and learn a little bit more about Jesus. That's always worth something. You know what? That's something I should have said more. I want more people to learn more about Christianity. You know, I got a little platform right here to, you know, advocate for Jesus. He advocated for us. And I do want people to don't just believe everything you hear about Christianity or be scared off by other people's experiences with the church, because the church isn't necessarily just, you know, the representation of what the Bible is. Because, you know, the church is ran by people like me and you. We're not perfect. They make bad decisions. They push, maybe some of them push bad rhetorics, or they're very judgy, or whatever it is. So I feel like don't take just what you hear online. Do the research yourself. Pick up the Bible. You read it. You go and fact check everything you hear. Did it actually say that? What does God say about this? Don't take someone else's word. Look at it yourself. Know God yourself. Form a relationship with Him, and then that'll kind of guide you in the direction you should go, help you find the church that fits you best, that you feel aligns most with what the Bible is saying and speaking to you in your heart.
Amen to that. I think you're talking directly to me. I'm a heavy believer when it comes to God. But my biggest challenge is I don't read the Bible enough. Like, there's usually a Bible right next to me. Like, when I go to sleep, there's a Bible right next to my bed. Like, I'm sleeping with it. But I don't read the Bible as much as I'm supposed to.
You know what I mean? And I feel like that kind of comes with the struggles with everybody. Like, sometimes you feel like you're not doing enough. And so, you know, talk to God about it. That's what my answer is. If life is going hard, have a conversation with Him. And when I say have a conversation, I saw a sermon, and the people were, was it a sermon or a Christian influencer? Not sure, but they were basically saying, like, you have to have a conversation with God. It's not you coming to God and, you know, just airing all your complaints and your grievances. Like, you need to stop and have a moment of silence. Give God an opportunity to say something back, because He will say something back. It's not going to be like me and you conversating, like He's going to literally speak to you. But there will be signs. And if you don't read the Bible where His words are in, you won't be able to differentiate those signs. You might think God is doing something for you, and the whole time is the devil leading you astray. But you wouldn't have known the difference. But if you read the Bible, you'll know God's character and who He is and how His expectations for us are. So you will see the difference. Be like, this is happening, but is this really God? Does it align with his word? And if it does, it's most likely him, you know, talking to you in a way or pushing you in the direction you should be going.
Okay. Okay. Salute to that. I'm actually, that's a challenge I'm going to take to myself. I'm going to try to make more time to read the Bible for myself. I usually do the audiobook, so I listen to it more. Mm-hmm. But I want to start reading the Bible because I have it physically right there beside me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I want to read it more because, yeah, why not? I mean, why have it if you're not going to read it? You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense.
And it's really interesting. A lot of the stories in the Bible are crazy.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't know anything about it if you haven't read. And that's true. Feel like you should also study the Bible. I feel like you'd be more willing to read it if you took notes. Be like, okay, well, I feel like this is what he's telling me today. And I think this is what I'm going to try to implement based on what I read today.
Man, I used to know the whole Bible.
You like all the books or like?
I used to read the Bible a lot.
Constantly. Okay.
Then I stopped. And I stopped a long time ago.
What caused you to stop?
Just life. You know how you just stop doing something?
You get distracted.
I just stopped, man.
Dang.
I put the Bible down. I stopped going to church. So I forgot most of the stories of the Bible. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh my God. Sometimes when I read the Bible, I'm like, yo, this sounds new to me. But when you read it, it's like, and that's coming back. Okay, I remember this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's been a long time when I actually picked up the Bible and I read the Bible.
It's never too late to go back.
Of course not. That's why I have the Bible right beside me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's never too late. There's no time for God. Any time is for God.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So,
and he's there waiting for you.
Baby. Yes. I pray a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm a prayer warrior.
I always say pray. If you're worried about it, pray. If you're excited about something, pray. You need to make a big decision, pray.
Yes. That's me right there. I'm a prayer warrior. I think I'm the type of guy you don't want me to pray because we can be here for hours just praying. Like, yo, cut, my guy. Yo, we need to go. You still praying? Yeah, I'm a prayer warrior, man. I can really pray for a while. And usually I believe in what I pray. You know that certain people, they just pray, but they don't believe in what they're saying?
It's kind of like a script. Like, yeah, they say the same thing
over and over.
And they're just more like repeating it or like rehearsing it more than really meaning what they're saying.
That's why sometimes I don't like everybody praying for me. I'm like, yo, I don't know if your prayer makes it off the roof, man. I think
if they're genuine in their intentions. Yeah.
Exactly.
Gotta pray for discernment so you know who's around you.
There you go. 100%. But thank you so much for stopping by. Mm-hmm. Do you have any social handles you want to plug in?
No, I'm not going to hold you. I do not. My Instagram is private. I only just have friends and the couple people I know. So I ain't got no Instagram handles for y'all, but maybe y'all can look me up on LinkedIn. I will try to get that updated, but Rebecca Jacoyo, be my LinkedIn, and I will eventually get to updating and putting all the stuff that I do, and then you can maybe follow along with my career journey.
Okay. That's fair enough. But as you can see, guys, she is private, so I'm sorry. Thank you again. Thank you so much for stopping by. We had a good time with you. I hope you guys learned a lot today. We would love to have you back because, man, the stuff you share today, it's really, 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 really what people need to hear, especially from this generation, the younger generation. Like we mentioned, the YN, please, YN, listen to our advice, man. I'm telling you, there's going to be a huge difference in your future. Listen to her. Listen to me. Tune into the podcast. Matter of fact, subscribe to the podcast. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So on that note, thank you so much for stopping by. Thank you for your time. You're more than welcome to come back.
Me.
Oh, for sure. You're more than welcome to come back to the platform. As you can see, this is a studio. We have this.
Mm-hmm.
Please encourage your friends to come over here and share their story. I know they got stories too.
They got plenty of stories. Yes. I have plenty of friends who got stories that could go for days on days.
Please tell them. The platform is right here. As you can see, we got extra seats over here just hanging around. I mean, we need stories for people to hear. There's so many people out there that want to listen to what's going on in life.
Mm-hmm.
So something will touch them and they'll end up changing their life for the better.
Yeah, so, God willing, this touch whoever it needed to touch.
Trust me, this is going to touch a lot of people.
Whoever it was for, I hope it got to you.
You'll see on the comments. They will be there on the comments. So this will touch them. So yeah, but yeah, make sure you tell your friends. I want them also to come to this platform and share their stories. And that'll be a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful blessing. So you know, your dad is supposed to be coming over here as well.
What?
Yes.
Oh, he will love it. He is going to tell you all about God, y'all.
Yes.
That is one powerful servant of God. He has been with the church since he was young, and he has no intention of ever leaving the church, and he's trying his hardest to get as many people over to the side of Christ. So that's be a real blessing for all those who want to learn more about God.
Yes, we still in talks. We still try to schedule what time works best for him. So yes, pretty soon. Don't be surprised if you see a video, be like, what? Him too in the studio? Yes.
Yes. Look out. His name is Paul Mwangi. Sorry, his last names aren't the same, but that's my dad.
Yes, he's definitely coming. Of course, your older brother, we have done a bunch of episodes, but I don't want to put those out. Those are just for trial and error. We're going to be doing another episodes with him pretty soon as well. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of people coming from your family. So,
hey, we're always here happy to support another fellow Kenyan.
Yes, yes. And I really appreciate that because when I spoke to you, you agreed to it. There was nothing to it. You was like, yes, I got you. So I really appreciate that. And that was the same vibe I got from your dad when I spoke to him. It was like, yo, say less. Let me know when we can do it. And I was like, wow.
We like to be a people of our word. If we say we're going to do it, we're going to do it.
Yeah. And what was shocking to me is how easy the conversation happened. It wasn't like, I'm going to get back to you. Let me think about that. And then I'm probably give you a call. And then they disappear for a while because sometimes they forget and they move on. So it was never not like that. It was just like, yo, say less. It's right here, right now. Take the number. Let's make it happen. And here we are. She's right here. And like I said, the dad is coming soon. So yeah, be on the lookout. He'll be here. I will remind you who she is. So whenever I say her name, that's her. That's all right. But all in all, thank you guys for watching. Y'all been great. This is Chafua Meza. I am your host, Slimmy G, and we out. Chafua Meza. Don kings in the building.